Well, anyone who's got even half a brain that isn't full of drugs can understand. The world is a tremendous mess. America's a tremendous mess.
Yeah.
And materialism is not getting them anywhere.
They're pretty open to it. Because a lot of these people, they make it to the as high as you're going to really go materially. And then it's like, that's it. There's nothing here. So they're looking for other alternatives.
Great. The whole thing is, it's a different approach, isn't it? It's not Atato Brahma Jignasa. It's what does it do to me?
Yeah.
What is the experience? It's very subjective, like in Sina Mentor. What is it doing to me? What do I get out of it? I remember Japa, what do I get out of it? What do I feel? It's very self-centered.
So the big term now is mindfulness.
Yeah, stolen.
That's a very famous. You know, that's been very popular. People want to be mindful and sort of be above the fray of the mind. You know, techniques to do that. You're looking at
people.
A modicum of peace.
I mean, the Buddhists, what they do in their tradition. I mean, they do a lot of heavy absorption and meditate, I mean, real serious meditation. It's the same thing that Prabhupada criticized, the Yogi Mahesh. They do a little 15 minutes transcendental meditation.
Yeah.
So their mindfulness is nonsense.
Yeah.
I mean, even mindfulness itself is nonsense without Krishna. But their whole idea, they're becoming Buddhists without all the Buddhism, without all the 2-minute perfection. They think they're going to get self-realization just with squeezed in between their gym and their work and their parties.
Yeah.
They're going to get satori.
Yeah.
That bogus. So you want to cater to that. Actually, when Prabhupada was here, there was more. That question, to introduce that, you know, what is the meaning of life, that which was where the Vedanta stands. That was maybe a better starting point.
You mean when people were more into Vedanta?
No, I'm saying it's the starting point of Vedanta. So it's not really what's the meaning of life, but we should inquire into higher things.
Yeah.
What's behind it all? Brahma.
Right.
But really, it's so self-centered now. I'll do this meditation. What will I get from that?
People don't know what they want. That's one thing. Like, I do this guided meditation in some places to help.
I'm just going to squat because my leg.
And I have in the meditation, sit under a desire tree and tell it'll fill in your desire. Now, what do you want?
And then they can't say.
Chair.
Interesting, huh?
And then that's a whole discussion about, like, you know, there's, they don't know, nobody really knows what they want.
That's a great one, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
They're unclear about it.
What do you
try
want?
Try to talk about.
In the core of your heart.
Yeah.
What do you want?
I see,
amazing.
When I ask the question, and there's a shockwave that goes through the room where they're like, hey, wait a minute, I have no idea what I want.
Yeah. Okay, now I'm going to tell you what you need to want.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
And they're really hungry for any, like, I just see how, like, even the basics of Krishna consciousness is so interesting. I have this, one of the original changing bodies dioramas that you can carry around. You
know, uh-huh.
It was made by Lochan years ago, and I've preserved it. And I took it into some of the corporates, and they go nuts. I walked into Salesforce, which is this huge high-rise in San Francisco. They make software. It's a very progressive company. Came in the lobby to get my badge to go up, and everybody in the lobby was stopping to take pictures. All the
way. Were you dressed like this?
Yeah, I always dressed
great,
like this.
Great.
And then, like, when I go up in the elevator, everyone's going, oh my God, what is it? And I say, what are you thinking of this? I think this is, you know, like my whole life before my eyes. But the things that, you know, I can take for granted because I see them so many times, For them, it's these young people now.
Right.
We have the, you know,
we have got the stuff.
The rest of people teaching just little fragments here that's totally,
A little fragment here, and it's also covered with a whole bunch of, you know, that thing that bulls pass out there. Really?
Yeah.
They're cheating.
Yeah.
We got the Prabhupada's books. They've got the real, the nectar for which people always say. But American disease, in particular, especially in America, they want everything cheap.
Yeah.
They don't want to pay the price.
They're spoiled.
You tell them. You're not going to get this just in 2 minutes, or just by paying some money, you've got to do some serious work.
Yeah.
Got a lot of stuff in there.
Yeah. One thing Kesha Bharti Maharaj has been doing, you know, he took a vow several years ago that he would read at least 41 pages.
Great.
Just for instance, in Houston recently, he reads straight from Prabhupada's books, and there's all kinds of Western young people coming.
Yeah, I was there in Houston.
He told me that.
Great. Get them to read Prabhupada's books. It's what our movement needs. The world needs it, and our movement needs it.
Yeah.
Read Prabhupada's books.
Yeah.
We're writing books, you and me. But really, they need to read Prabhupada's books.
Yeah.
Read and study Prabhupada's books. Great, such potential in America. What a great opportunity. If we had our farms together now.
Yeah.
Oh, we missed it. We missed it big time, didn't we?
Yeah.
If we had our farms now, then the millions could join.
Yeah.
We missed a generation. We missed a generation. It's time to get back on course.
Yeah.
We think big. This Krishna consciousness movement should take over the whole world.
Definitely. Yeah. With book distribution, I feel like we should be united as one world team. The reason we had success in America over the last 7 years is because we came together as one team. And we started competing against ourselves and measuring, you know, what percentage are we going to increase by. I've been introducing that on the GBC.
Yeah, I heard that also, that instead of promoting individual...
Yeah, instead of promoting individual scores, it's one, we're competing against ourselves and the percentage. And that it gets a lot more people involved with the teamwork idea, rather than like... Individuals, and then it becomes about the competition, it's not. Yeah, that's true.
Right. Yeah, and it increases the sales.
Yeah. And, lots of devotees.
Krishna's empowering you.
The congregation is the sleeping giant.
Mm, yeah, right.
You know, brahmacharis are huge, and they always will be, but when the families, women, mothers, children, we got about 125 kids that go out since they've been going out.
And you're going to come and do this in India now, I heard.
Well, we're doing a little bit. I've been in Pune a few times, and they've started that. And in Mumbai and Juhu, there's a devotee, Narottam Priya Prabhu, who has the monthly Sankirtan festival going. She started basically from the book, you know, that book I put out called Our Family Business.
Is that Indrajana Maharaj's disciple?
I think he's Gopal Krishna.
Uh-huh.
He's a real, he was a banker before. He told me he joined the movement, and then he said, he's very expert at a lot of things. They had him managing the restaurant and stuff, he said. But he said, I wanted some excitement, like cutting edge kind of thing, you know. And then when he thought about book distribution, he said, that's it, you know.
Yeah, in India, there's absolutely huge, huge potential in every field of preaching.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, The West is, the potential is there, definitely, but India is just, it's in a different league altogether.
Yeah.
The potential here is, it's just unlimited. The towns, villages, the village preaching, we haven't, we've hardly taken it up at all. It's huge, huge potential everywhere.
Yeah, with book distribution, India's doing really well compared to the rest of the world, but not compared to Jehovah's Witness and the Gideons, because they're doing like 50 times bigger than we are. So I've been
in India,
you know, in the world.
In the world, yeah.
Just that, you know, we should be looking at some of these other organizations that are doing much, much bigger, more dedicated to their literature production and distribution, and also their members. You know, it's part of their ethos that they people go out and preach, like the Mormons. They do at least 2 years sending their people out. And
Jehovah's Witness,
all of them go out. You know, they're door to door, they're on the streets and stuff like that. And I feel that it should be a
great.
You know, we should have that value system. That
yeah, great, feels. Great. Yeah, please, you can promote this in India. It'll do great good to the whole movement here because it's very factionalized. There's a lot of preaching going on, but it's all faction based. Around individual gurus, and then among the gurus, different leaders under them. It's more about, this is my typically cynical view, but that's how I see it. It's more about making disciples than about making devotees in many cases, and increasing the group. Individual showing our group to be so big like that. But if you promote, and you have to promote, it's got to be Prabhupada's book distribution also. Yeah. That's another thing. Yeah. Other books, which, okay, there may be good books, but we have to promote Prabhupada's books.
Yeah, especially Bhagavatam.
Bhagavatam, tremendous. You found that in America, among the Indians especially.
Yeah.
Great potential for distributing Bhagavatam.
You know, we found this loophole in the Shastra recently. 2 years ago, I noticed, I mean, I've always noticed it, but it was right in front of our faces, but this Bhadra Purnima.
Right.
It's what the Gita Jayanti is to Bhagavad Gita.
Yeah,
is the Bhagavatam. So just with a little bit of effort this year for Gita Jayanti worldwide, we did 7,000 sets of Bhagavatams within like about a month.
Hit India also.
Yeah, India, because we're
working
together.
I mean, devotees are promoting like that, yeah.
We're working together. I'm with Bhima and Sriram and several devotees in India. We have a team, so we're strategizing how we can, you know, connect all the continents. Let's work together. When we're doing these big campaigns, let's share resources and stuff.
That's great. Let the movement become together on the basis of Prabhupada's books.
Prabhupada especially wanted the BBT to be centralized, like more cooperation, more economies of scale, to, you know, everyone working together to increase the distribution. So that's one thing that's promising for the Bhagavatam sets.
Promote book distribution in the center, and then so much of the politics and factionalism, and hopefully that should brush it aside.
Yeah.
With some purification.
Even when Prabhupada was here, you know, he was pushing book distribution, and there was always, you know, some people who resisted for various reasons, right? You know, I mean, the thrust, everything was going towards that, but still, there was always some internal struggle, like...
That always requires personality conflicts, but when Prabhupada was here, a lot of that was even centered around book distribution, wasn't it?
Yeah. Like how to do it.
Yeah, how to do the zones and this and that.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, nice.
But in India, no one actually says it, but there's a feeling that you don't really need to distribute Prabhupada's books, because anyway we make devotees by our own preaching. We go out and preach and people become devotees. So that's in one sense you could say it's true, but in the other sense, if you don't distribute Prabhupada's books, and if you don't teach people on the basis of Prabhupada's books, then Sakala Neha Mahata Yoga Nashta Parantapa. Yeah. And we're seeing that. Then you get all kinds of other weird books, which Absolutely. Are not exactly
yeah.
what Prabhupada gave. And by widely distributing Prabhupada's books, that will whatever little what will your 3-minute speech do? Right. it will so much accentuate the effect of our own preaching. I mean, it. One thing I often say when I first came to India in 1976, I came to stay in 1977. Mm-hmm. The idea, okay, this is my life. I'm staying here. That time, the Mayavad was so thick that you just start talking to anyone, either individually or in a public forum, and say, the Supreme Personality, no, Advaita, one, that's changed completely.
Mm.
Why? I mean, it's not there, Mayavad is still there, for sure. But I put that down to the widespread distribution of Bhagavad Gita as it is. Yeah. That is having the effect.
Yeah. You know, I wrote this in my book.
Prabhupada's Gita is widely distributed. Yeah. Yeah. And even though lakhs and lakhs have been distributed, it's still the number one book for distribution.
Yeah.
Yeah, please say.
Oh, just this little piece I appreciated about Joseph T. O'Connell. He's the late preeminent Vaishnava, academic scholar of Gaudiya Vaishnavism.
Oh, yeah.
He wrote that foreword for the Brihat Bhagavatamrita.
Right.
And he had a paper I read called Institutionalizing Prema. So in this paper, he writes
I'd like to read
there's
that.
Two...
Could you send me a link or something to
sure.
that?
Sure. Yeah. If you Google it, it's right, you know.
Okay.
But it's... In that paper, the part I pulled out, you know, for the book was that he said there's... In Gaudiya Vaishnavism, there's two institutions. The hard institution and the soft institution.
Uh-huh.
So the hard institution is the hierarchy, the buildings, all that stuff. And he said the soft institution is more important. First of all, he defines institution. He says institution means it's the means by which you transport culture across time and geography.
Yeah.
And he said culture means that which is real, right, and valuable to any group of people. And then he said, the soft institution in Gaudiya Vaishnavism is the Gaudiya literature. And he said that's the more effective means to spread...
back to Joe.
Yeah, to bring the culture across time and geography. So I was really appreciating that, even from the academic scholar, you know, just appreciating book distribution as a valid strategy, because sometimes people question it, like, "Oh, isn't it meant for another era?" Or will it really work? Or is it working and stuff like that?
Right, right. We distribute so many books and blah 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 blah.
I mean, my bottom line is like, first of all, even if nobody came, it's still a valid strategy because, preservation through mass.
I follow my Guru Maharaj blindly. Yeah, you know, said in this regard.
Yeah, there's that, and the fact is we don't. You know, every one of them, those seeds are going to have an effect somewhere. We just don't know.
Another thing is we practically see where book distribution is emphasized, things flourish.
Exactly. Yeah.
And if not, then it may go on with buildings and people coming, but unless Prabhupada's books are in the center, it's the Krishna Shakti is not there. It becomes something different.
It's the foundational sound vibration of the Krishna consciousness movement, those books. And it always has to be there, otherwise. I agree with you.
We have to preach that also, because in India also, because bhakti is already here. Unless you put Prabhupada's books in the center and Prabhupada's teachings, then it just becomes all mixed up with all this sahajya, smash, and materialistic, and you get people doing yajnas for material, our devotees, that's supposed to be doing, we'll do a yajna for you so you can increase your business. Oh, yeah, just completely nonsense. Yeah. Hinduism. Yeah. He's doing book distribution in Surat for so many years.
Surat, Jai. the most pious place on earth.
Yeah. Well, nice. Maybe Saurashtra is good. All of Saurashtra is good. But the reason it's so pious, major reason is because it's full of Saurashtra.
Saurashtra.
Your family's from Saurashtra?
No. I'm from Surat.
From Surat.
Born in Britain.
Surati. So, you initiated how many years ago?
In 2002.
So you asked me, what's the Adesh, what's the order? I told him book distribution. Nice. He's got a whole team.
I know, wherever your people are, there's a strong spirit for, you know, it makes such a huge difference. I mean, there's certain leaders on the planet who just, that's their heart, and they promote it. And that's what's making it happen. You know, Gopal Krishnamurti, wherever I go, wherever he goes, it, you know, there's that spirit of book distribution. Wherever you go, wherever your people are, then it's, you know, it happens. It has to come from the top down. And I have a feeling leaders, you know, if you're going to be in a leadership position, you have to promote that. Because that was, you know, that's a core value of our organization.
Prabhu Vishnu, Prabhu Swami, I have a hard time thinking of him. So many. He told me that Prabhupada had told him more than once that book distribution is the guru's business. Mm-hmm. Now, probably in those days we thought guru, at that time when we said guru, we always thought of Prabhupada. Mm. But it's a principle. Yeah. And Joe O'Connell got that.
Yeah.
I think it was Joe O'Connell who also wrote one article in which someone had criticized Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita as it is. Mm. And he wrote, he just cut that guy to pieces academically. Mm. He just lined by, you could see he was angry with him, but he just restrained it because he had to put it in academic language. He said that, he's saying that Prabhupada, this is a standard method, he's following a standard traditional method of exposition. Mm. And he said that the guy who he's criticizing, who is junior to him as a scholar also, so he said that there's so many cases of this misrepresentation. I'll just give one sample. And if you see, and then Joe O'Connell analyzed his song. He said, if it was just a random sample, he made a very bad choice. And he showed how the criticism he made was absolutely bogus. He really cut into me. That's great. He did a lot of, another one was, Thomas Hopkins.
Oh yeah.
He really personally appreciated Prabhupada. He's still alive, I think.
He's still alive, yeah.
Joe O'Connell died just two or three years ago, And Larry Shin.
Yeah.
He's a Protestant Baptist minister or something.
Yeah.
He really appreciated Prabhupada. Yeah. And it's funny that even these scholars, they can understand better and they appreciate Prabhupada even than some of our own devotees who are criticizing Prabhupada, this, that, and the other.
Yeah, in that New York court case, Prabhupada told them to take the books in.
Yeah.
Show them the books. There was a case.
And Harvey Cox was, he was, he was livid.
Yeah.
And he was a huge theologian. He was probably the biggest.
Yeah.
He was an internationally famous figure. I didn't know that at the time. I mean, I was just a kid at the time. Like, he was a huge figure and he was really right there with Prabhupada.
Yeah.
We lost our, you know, what happened? We became nice or something.
Yeah.
But they hold a tremendous potency at this moment. Those books are so powerful. It's awesome. Every line, every word is so powerful.
St. Louis, Missouri.
Yeah.
And the temple is there. And then there was this old Playboy Club that's down the street. And it was dilapidated, you know, but some investors got it and they wanted to start it back up again. But there's a law in Missouri that you can't open a bar, which is necessary for Playboy Club, within a certain distance of a church. So we brought this up and said, you can't do that. But they countersued us and they said, you're not a real church. You're not a religion.
When was this?
It was in the 1980s.
1980s, yeah.
Yeah, so it was like 82 or something. So then, we went to court because we didn't want the Playboy Club coming out. And we the judge wanted a proof, you know, that we were just, so we brought him all the books. And he took his time to go through them, and he came back, and his ruling was so strong. He said, these guys are definitely bona fide religion. You know, because, I mean, Prabhupada put the Sanskrit word for word.
And he said that will show the authenticity.
Yeah.
He was aware of that.
That's the...
He wanted it that highly educated, qualified, authoritative yes. people would appreciate this is
yes.
this is something very serious.
Yes.
That Mahotsav, one of my disciples,
yeah, and
he told me that, was it him or Vishnu Chitta, when they often meet the Christians, you know, hardcore Christians,
yeah.
and they want their scriptures, and they say, well, you take our book, because they want to see what we're, you know, to pick it to pieces or what.
Yeah.
They don't want, because I often promote the Science of Self-Realization as being a great book to distribute.
Mm.
They say, we want your scripture.
Mm.
And when they see the Sanskrit and yeah. everything, we want to see what your... So they don't accept as being... And in one sense, that's true also. It's not the core scripture. There's a very potent thing that Prabhupada did to give... Can you imagine going to America and giving scriptures?
Yeah.
Indian scriptures?
Yeah, okay.
And in such a format.
Yeah.
And even our devotees, they sometimes have a problem with that also, even today. But it's, if anyone picks that up, they have to appreciate that this is yeah. something heavy. What's the yeah. word I'm looking for? It's
weighty.
Substantial, yeah. Then this is not some Jagi yeah. Vasudev or Art of Living or, you know, smile and be happy.
Yeah.
This is something. So
here's a true story. I was in Japan, and I was walking to the Govinda's restaurant with my friend Satyadev.
Yeah, yeah.
You know Satyadev.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I know you're both...
From China, you know.
You're both been in Japan for working there.
Yeah, that's
years.
Right. We've yeah. been in Japan for years together.
Yeah.
He does a lot in China now, but, you know, we were walking down the street, this was maybe 10 years ago, in Tokyo, and I stopped at the Jehovah's Witness, you know, they give out the Watchtower magazine.
So I really, picked up a they're really copies, dogged, aren't they?
Just to see what they, you know, really what they dogged, had. We got yeah. to the restaurant, it was very crowded, and I was going through looking at their articles, because, you know, they're a model. They're very focused on their literature distribution. They're really good at it. In any case, I was saying to Satyadev, who I was saying, of all the Christian groups I meet, they're the least receptive. And then when the restaurant started clear, Madhu Mangal, who was running the restaurant, he was a temple resident also at the time, came over and he said, I have this man that I want you to meet. He comes here regularly. And he's a Jehovah's Witness. It was like a coincidence, right?
Uh-huh.
And so we started talking to him. And he said, I'm reading your spiritual master's books. And he said, I have two things to say. He said, first thing is, that I really appreciate this because you're not motivated. There's no material motivation for this. It's just worshiping God. And then he said, the second thing is, I think you people are very sincere because I've analyzed your movement and you're the most disorganized religious movement I've ever seen, but you keep going. And he said, that shows how sincere you are. And then he said, don't worry, we were like that about 125 years ago. So disorganized, he said. But it was just, it was kind of a coincidence. But it was, I felt at that moment how Prabhupada's books penetrate. Anyone who's a little intelligent or sincere, and they read there's no other literature like it in the world, Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita.
Tamoha in Alachua, I think it was him, a few years ago, wrote a Vyasa Puja offering or something, in which he saw some Christian preacher on TV, and he was saying, we gotta serve Jesus without any motive. And it was just like a Srimad Bhagavatam class. Mm. He thought he must have been getting this from Prabhupada's books, because you don't get it from Christianity.
Completely rejecting all religious activities that are materially motivated.
You don't, it was like using the same jargon even. You won't get that. I mean, I as a kid, I must have been in hundreds of church and speeches, and at school every day they gave one. And I can't remember anything that anyone said ever. It must have been hundreds of hours throughout my whole childhood. They never said anything which lodged there, because I had nothing to say.
You know,
but every word of Prabhupada is so powerful. There's something else. Madan Mohan in Moscow, he told me some time ago that he met some Orthodox monks, and he said that many of us are reading your books.
Mm.
Secretly, because we're not allowed to, but we know this is the real thing. They have more faith than many of our own devotees. They can appreciate. This is what Prabhupada wanted the books, especially said our books are especially for people who are sincere. Great, great books.
Fantastic. Sometimes when we meet people, they have this allergic reaction to what they call organized religion.
Right, right.
You've heard that a million times.
Yeah.
So sometimes people, they'll say, oh, is this some religion? Like, what they mean is, you know, is it organized religion or something like that? A cheating religion? So I would say, no. This completely rejects all religious activities that are materially motivated.
Oh, great.
It propounds the highest truth, which is reality distinguished from illusion for the welfare of all.
Wow.
Is this religion? It's like, this completely rejects all religious activities that are materially motivated. And it, like, you know, the language of the Bhagavatam, it just opens them up. You know, Mahotsav, he's doing, he has all kinds of amazing ways of presenting. You've seen his whole... Prabhupada said in 1975, when we went to see him, it was Tripurari Maharaj and Gopavindapal, and a couple other party leaders.
Maharathis.
Yeah.
At the time.
And they were kind of having a debate about the ways we should be training devotees and the ways we should be distributing, you know. Prabhupada didn't really want to get into it on two sides, you know, so much. So when they were presenting it, he could kind of tell, like, this was, you know, Prabhupada said, when you train devotees for book distribution, he said, teach them to be sincere. He went like this, he said, because if they're sincere, then the master within their heart will show them how to do it.
There's another conversation which, Prabhupada was asking Tripurari, and he said, the main thing I teach them is to chant 16 rounds attentively before they go out. Prabhupada said, yeah, that's the formula.
Yeah. Oh, actually, in one a conversation he had about reading his books, Tripurari Maharaj said, this is the main thing we teach, that about hearing and chanting and reading the books, and Prabhupada's not the main thing, this is the only thing.
Hmm.
And I met Prabhupada in 1973 in San Francisco. We were with this book distribution party there, and we were at a darshan. Our temple president introduced us, said, you know, this one's doing this, this one's doing that. And then Prabhupada looked right at us and he said, you must also read my books. I've not written these just for selling. I've written them for you to read, become pure devotees, and go back to Godhead. It always impressed me that was, because I saw on Radha Damodar, other kinds of parties, you know, they were working all day long, no breaks for reading or anything like that. I knew Prabhupada, that, you know, he was so strong about that, that the reading had to go on. We were experiencing, when we were just reading over the last few weeks, this, you know, marathon we were on 5 hours a day, and the, you know, the more we read, the more I was thinking that reading's much easier than writing. And we can go on reading, we'll never come to the end of Prabhupada's books. I mean, we may finish them, but the amount I'll absorb. But I was thinking how, but Prabhupada wrote these. Mm. I mean, how much effort he put in. I thought, We should put in as
hard labor,
at least as much effort to read them as Prabhupada put in to write them.
Right, right.
Even if I can't write those books, anything like that, at least I can, my side, I should try as hard as Prabhupada did to read them. And I also thought today about that Dai Tava Pache Pache, I'm running behind. That's how I feel like you never catch up to Prabhupada, but the way you can run behind him is like reading deeply what is, you know, what's in his books.
Hard labor.
Yeah.
He said, he used that term about his hard labor, effort to make the books.
Shruti Kirti Prabhu said, Prabhupada said, you see these books behind me? He was sitting in his room in Mayapur. And then he said, drops a day where the stone
was. Oh, right.
He said, every day I write something, at least even one shloka, sometimes more, but consistently every day. And look how many books. We were thinking like that too, because we were looking at, if you don't look at the electronic one, you look at the paper copy and you think, I could never read that. Look how many pages there are. I mean, look how thin the page is too. I mean, it's nothing. You turn the pages, that was nothing. But if you just keep going on a regular schedule, then it's like, how do we do it? You know, it's just one page at a time. It's sort of a metaphor for the whole process of advancing in devotional service. Like, attend to one thing at a time and just keep doing it. And spreading the movement to one person at a time. Such a pleasure to see you.
Yeah, I'm going to move on because...
I hear you.
We could talk all night, but...
I know.
I got to give a class in Vrindavan tomorrow. It's maybe, maybe the toughest
venue. Thanks for taking a little time.
Maybe the toughest venue in the movement because there are all kinds of sensitive people and I'm not such a sensitive speaker.
Well, all I can say, Maharaj, knock them alive. Hare Krishna.
Hare Bol.
Thank you so much.
I always look at a big hand. I think those hands are...